Welcome back to Worst Seats in the House. Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta coming to you from Bally Sports North, where Anthony is doing the pre- and post-game show for the Cubs-Twins game tonight with Glenn Perkins. By the way, next Monday night, September 27th, 7 p.m., we will be doing a live recording of Worst Seats at the House. Worst Seats in the House, right, Anthony? At the house. Worst Seats in the House, at the house, under the house, over the house, whatever, at Elsie's in Northeast Minneapolis. Northeast Minneapolis is a family-owned and operated restaurant, bar, and bowling establishment for over 30 years. They serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. We'll be doing a live podcast there at 7 p.m., a bunch of beer specials that we're running on the 27th, $3 premium and Northeast Pints all day, 2-for-1 premium and Northeast Pints during the live podcast. And the best part of that live podcast, Anthony, is that not one person will ask us, when are they signing Kirill Kaprizov?
Well, that and your bowl off against any of the lucky podcast listeners who have earned the right to go toe-to-toe with you, frame by frame. I'm excited about it. Elsie's is a great spot. I've had breakfast there. I've been there for happy hour many times. I've bowled there a few times. It's a great spot. Looking forward to it on Monday night. But yes, we've been talking about it forever. That
we have podcast topics anymore.
Right. And I think it's interesting now that, you know, 5-year, $9 million per, and I think you'd have to go back and think about where you were at different points during these negotiations. The fact that, you know, I think we both are surprised if you went from the start. I never would have guessed that he would have commanded $9 million bucks on a deal that was less than 8 years long. But the way the negotiations went, it sure sounds like eventually it was Bill Guerin just digging in his heels and saying, look, I've come as far as I'm going to come. This is it. Yep. So let's get the thing done and get you here so you're ready to go when training camp starts. Yet to be determined. We won't know maybe until Thursday if we'll see him on the ice when the team hits the ice. But it sure sounds like that's at least a possibility, mm-hmm. which is a great thing. And it's just, it was going to happen. So why it took this long, I don't know. We'll find out more. I'm just glad it's over and done with, and now we can focus on who's going to play with who, and instead of is Kaprizov going to be here or is he going to play in Moscow? I'm just glad it's over with.
Yeah, ditto. Somebody asked me on Twitter, how am I going to celebrate this? And I might have to drink a bottle of wine or two. I'm going to definitely go to dinner after we finish this podcast and have a couple glasses of wine and wait for the next angst. And the next line of questions, like, when are they going to sign? Who's Nadinov? Where's Hovanov?
You'll find some angst. Yeah. I have
there's always something that becomes something / watch on Twitter, and Kaprizov watch, thankfully, is done with. And I agree with you. You know, look, you know, there's no doubt that Bill Guerin dug in his heels here and basically said to Kaprizov in the last couple of weeks, look, this is it. You know, step in here, and I think that's what happened. But this is an excellent deal for Kirill Kaprizov. Every agent I've talked to in the last couple of weeks were shocked the Wild went over 7, and this is above market value. But this is a true star that the Wild had to get done, and this is somebody that we all know as people that have, if you're a Wild fan or people that have been around the team as a beat writer or a play-by-play guy for as long as we have, it's been a long time since they've had any sort of player like this. Marian Gaborik is the closest thing to it. And they had to get it done, and because of that pressure, the complexion of this team is totally different with Kaprizov in the lineup versus against it. So he gets $9 million, and say what you want about the negotiating tactics of Paul Theofanis, but man, did he do his job here. The Wild offered 8-9 out of the hop for a 7 or 8 year deal. As you mentioned, Anthony, never thought that it would be anywhere close to 9 on a 5-year deal, and yet Theofanis got it done. And so it's a huge deal for Kirill. The Wild get him done. The Wild give no signing bonuses in the deal. He gets a full no trade clause in years 4 and 5, which is not a big deal at all for a 27, 28-year-old at that point. And luckily, on opening night, we're going to see Kirill Kaprizov in this lineup.
Yeah, and I guess it'll be now it's just how long before the questions start to present, will he re-sign with the Wild? So you can start working on that story right now. I think it's the agent did a good job. Kaprizov got the deal he wanted. I think the one area where, I mean, this is the same deal that basically has been on the table for the last 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. I just wish it would have been done quicker so that he would have been here these weeks leading up to camp when the players are working out together, when the just to eliminate any of that. And, you know, I always talk, this is a distraction, and distractions are real. It's not, you know, the guys are tired of asking the question, answering the question. Hey, you think they're going to sign Kaprizov? Hey, you guys going to sign your guy? All that. I mean, that's exhausting for players too. So I wish it would have been done quicker for all those reasons, but it's thankfully it's done before the season starts. And now we can focus on what's ahead for the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, we can focus on who's his center.
Who's his center? But let's just now not knowing, you know, who he's going to play with or any of that kind of stuff. What's your prediction for Kirill Kaprizov's numbers this season? Full 82 games, regular schedule. No, I mean, other than a regular schedule, other than a two-week break in the middle for the Olympics, but the normal schedule with normal opponents and everything. What do you think Kaprizov posts this year?
I think he, if he's healthy and plays, you know, a full 82-game slate, I think he's easily a 40-goal scorer on this team, you know, which would be, the third 40-goal scorer in franchise history between Staal and Gabrick doing it. But I think, I mean, I'm not going way out on a limb. He was on a 40-goal pace last year. So, but he's also going to be playing some, you know, in full buildings, full 82-game slate against real quality defensive teams, different style in the East with teams like Boston and Tampa and things like that. Tampa's a much more defensive team than anybody ever gives him credit for. You know, I think easily 40 goals. What's your opinion on that?
I don't know if I'd say easily 40. I mean, his pace last year would have been 40 and 35. Mm-hmm. And I think if it was over 82 games. So, you know, we're both making the assumption that he plays 82. So if he plays 82, you know, I mean, I think 40's realistic. I'd say, you know, maybe 38 goals, 42 assists or something. I think we'll see. I think he's an 80-point player. And
which on this franchise is
unbelievable. 120
right. Yeah, no,
well, that's true, except that, and we can get to this because there's a little bit more offensive upside in this on this roster and in this organization right now than maybe we've seen in recent years after watching the prospects play against the Blackhawks over this last weekend. But I think, you know, if all of a sudden, let's say Marco Rossi proves ready to be a first-line center in the NHL, and, you know, now you the other wing, whether it be Zuccarello, Boldy, Fiala, even if Boldy and Fiala are on a different line and he's still with Zuccarello, now your line isn't the only one warranting defensive attention from opponents. I mean, all of that stuff can change it. But, you know, I mean, I think 40 goals is a realistic target for Kaprizov. And I'll throw out my prediction right now just saying that I think he falls just a hair short of 40 goals but hits 80 points.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting who his center is. Because the impression that I get is on the first day of training camp, Eriksson Ek is going to be there. And so right away, I think the Wild are showing that they are sort of changing things up this year and realize that Victor Rask between Zuccarello and Kaprizov is just ridiculously needs to end. And so, but, you know, Fiala might get that potential by getting Rask there. But I do think that Rossi's going to get his chance. I think Boldy will get his chance with Fiala. I still would be very surprised if Rossi makes the team just because there's more of a, you know, if you consider Rask as a center and they're going to keep Hartman at center and you have Eriksson Ek and then you have Goudreau or Sturm, there's just not a spot for Rossi unless he's going to wing or they decide they're going to put Hartman back at right wing. That obviously potential is there. But Boldy is somebody who's already been a pro in the North American, you know, in Iowa last year. There's that left wing spot, even though he's more of a right wing, that to me is clear on the depth chart next to a Fiala. I think there's probably a better chance for Boldy to make the team than Rossi, also just based on the year and a half that Rossi has not played a lot of competitive hockey.
I think that's the bigger thing. Boldy looks ready.
Yeah.
After watching the prospect camp, yeah. He looks ready. His body looks ready. His game looks ready. he was the best player on the ice, I thought. For I didn't see the Friday scrimmage, but saw the Sunday scrimmage. I thought he was the best player on the ice.
It's funny you said that, because I thought that Rossi was the best player on the ice for Minnesota on Friday night, but Boldy was undoubtedly.
Yeah, and Rossi was damn good on Sunday. And it was what was interesting is that you'd watch and there were shifts where you'd say, he made a poor decision with the puck there. He turned it over in the offensive zone there. But every time the Wild would score, that was Boldy from Rossi. That was Rossi from Boldy. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why those guys are just different than everybody else that was on the ice for either side in those two games. And it's not an accident. You said it earlier that the Wild just haven't had guys who were the 40-goal, 80-point type guys. Well, they haven't had guys like that who might be invisible or at least seem invisible, but then all of a sudden you look at the score sheet at the end of the night and he had 2 points. I mean, that's kind of what both those guys looked like in the prospect camp. And on special teams, they both looked outstanding. I think Boldy makes this team without a doubt, and Rossi still has to show it in camp. I do think that you're right about the number of centers, but bottom line is if this guy comes to camp and they throw him in there with some of the top-end wingers and he does not look out of place,
then you got to make
a tough decision and just say, look, he's the guy. I mean, Goodrow's not a part of the future of this organization. Yep. Right? I mean, Nico Sturm might well be. Hartman can easily move to the wing.
Yep.
I mean, this is a guy who is...
I agree.
He's as big a part of the future of this organization as anybody else.
If Rossi looks like I don't think this is going to be like I've covered a lot of teams both here in Minnesota and Florida where a kid will come in and look like he's knocked the socks off, and then they still send him down to the minors. I agree with you on this one. Is that if Rossi shows that he could look like he could be impactful and produce to start the season, it makes all the sense in the world based on who their other centers are. I mean, you're taking a wing in Hartman and putting him at center. You could easily put Rossi in that position next to even Foligno and Greenway and make that a productive line offensively. Or you could put Rossi next to Fiala, or you could put Rossi next to, obviously, Kaprizov and Zuccarello and become impactful. The other question that I have is if Rossi doesn't make the team but Boldy does, what happens to that other forward spot that's open? You know, if they're healthy and you got Hartman now there, you got Goodrow, you got Sturm, you got Bukestead, and you're just asking for a 13th forward, would they use Dewar or Duhame in that spot, or would they give it to a veteran like Kyle Rau? Because they're obviously going to carry 13 forwards. Even Dewar and Duhame, they're young players. I'm going to think they're not going to want them sitting in the press box, but if everybody's healthy, there's no room for them. But if they come in and somebody gets hurt, I think that opens the door for Dewar or Duhame, two guys that I spoke to today. I'm doing a big feature on this weekend.
Yeah, and I would guess that those two guys would probably end up in Iowa to open. But if you're talking about, hey, we need a guy for one night to fill in, then your veteran guy is perfectly capable of doing that. Somebody goes down and you need a guy for 2 weeks, now it's different, and now you reevaluate that. But and you know the roles those guys play are a little bit different too. I mean, you know, Dewar probably a guy more capable of playing higher in the lineup, you know, based on his track record. But I don't know. I think this camp has some intrigue to it where you're going to watch guys who are a huge part of the future of the organization and getting a chance to see them for the first time play with the guys that you know are going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Watch Rossi play with Fiala. Watch Boldy play with Fiala or Eriksson Ek or whatever. And it's been a few years since we've seen that kind of turnover on the roster heading into a camp. So I'm really excited about it. And after watching those guys in the prospect camp, I'm more convinced than I was going in that they will be NHL ready. Matt Boldy to me looks like he is not only NHL ready, but maybe ready to make an impact in the NHL.
Yeah. By the way, is there a heater in this studio? Because it is freaking freezing in here. Are you cold or am I just dying?
I think you're just cold.
Maybe I'm just having a stroke. You know, the like, you know what you said at the beginning, that,
is that what happens if you have a stroke?
I don't know. Maybe you get super hot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have guessed the opposite.
I never find out. So, but I probably
will. We can just put it on your urgency tab.
Yeah.
Urgency room tab.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm still paying that one off. So, you know what's interesting, though, you said about how there's a reason why Boldy and Rossi are who they are. I've covered this league. This is my 17th season. This is your 10th season. This 10th, right? Coming up?
Yep.
Yep. Like, the Wild have had high-end prospects that have been hyped before. Granlund, Niederreiter, Coyle, Zucker. There have been other guys as well. I don't ever remember covering. Now, again, I don't go to Traverse City, but I see the stats. And I've watched these guys in development camp and training camp before. I've never seen two prospects come in this hyped, but then you watch them on the ice on that first day of rookie camp and that second day of rookie camp, and they are the freaking real deal. Yeah. Like, these guys are impactful studs.
I think Granlund's the only one who did. But keep in mind, these guys were drafted at a level that the Wild haven't picked very often.
Right.
And when they had, a lot of times it was defensemen, and those guys are different. Like, Brodin, I remember watching Jonas Brodin skate and just say, holy cow, this guy is special with the way he moved his feet. I'll never forget watching during their prospect camp when Brodin came, and I was sitting with Wes Walls, and I watched him, and I said, wow, watch Brodin's feet. And Wes turned to me and he said, I haven't been able to stop watching since he got on the ice. He's incredible. And Granlund was the guy who was hyped like this. If you remember, Chuck Fletcher proclaimed that he was going to be the rookie of the year his first year. Yeah. And Granlund showed flashes of what these guys have shown in some of these scrimmage type situations. But I think what's different is he was a playmaker that he didn't wow you with his skating or anything, but he was just he was a playmaker with his vision. These guys are finishers. These guys are scorers.
Yeah.
And there's a difference. And I think
refreshing.
Well, it's refreshing, but I mean, Granlund's the only forward that the Wild have had since when? 2010,
he probably, was drafted.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's the only one since probably 2004 where they had a forward that was picked anywhere close to that high in the draft.
Yeah, Niederreiter, obviously they acquired, but Niederreiter was the top, Niederreiter
was fifth.
Like, fifth.
But he wasn't one of the Wild's picks. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying, guys they picked.
Mm-hmm. Coyle was 28th. He was traded to the Wild.
Yeah, Zucker was a second round pick.
Yep.
I mean, it was.
Brett Bulmer make it?
Not quite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He wasn't quite the same.
I saw one of the prospects the other day was wearing 54. I'm like, oh, Brett Bulmer's number. I'm sure he's going to love that. You know what's interesting about what you just said, too, is about the finishing, is like, that was, to me, what was so exciting about these guys. It's not just that they finish. It's that they constantly am shooting. Even Adam Beckman. That guy does not look to pass. And Billy Guerin said it in his postgame after Sunday's shootout win that Nick Sweeney scored a beautiful goal. Is that what that's what he loves about a guy like Beckman, is that it just seems like youngsters these days want to pass the puck into the net. We've seen that with the Wild for probably 21 years other than Gabby. And here they are. All shooting and trying to make an impression. And it's not just those guys. I mean, as I said, I'm doing a big feature on Duer and Duhan this weekend, and they're two guys that I really am anxious to introduce Wild fans to. And I spent a lot of work in the last couple days before my interviews with them today of just talking to different people that know them really well to learn a lot about them, because I really do think that one of these two are going to make the team potentially, or at a minimum, both these guys are going to get games at some point this season. I want Wild fans to know who they are, because they've, you know, Tim Army calls them Dewey 1 and Dewey 2. Bomber calls them Hall and Oates. They're always said in the same breath, yet none of us even know who the heck they are.
I'm glad he calls them Hall and Oates and not Harry and Lloyd.
Yeah, I know. So when I was interviewing Bomber last week, I asked about Hall, and he considered Dewar Hall, and he gives me this whole diatribe about Hall, and finally I just said to him, well, what about Oates? And then he gave me the whole thing. So I loved, so today I was interviewing both, and I told him what Bomber calls them, and both of them just rolled their eyes and started laughing. The other funny thing is that, so Tim Army calls him Dewey 1 and Dewey 2. So I asked Tim Army today, who's Dewey 1? And he goes, that's Duhan, but not because of a pecking order, like he's better. He was just first in Iowa. Connor Duer you know, number two. I mean, really interesting backgrounds. And you know what? Let's do a little business here, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about Dewar and Doohan. But I did want to tell everybody about Profile by Sanford. It's getting harder, but I'm keeping it up. It's that time of year again. Summer's over. The kids are back in school. Not my kids, but your kids. Now's the time to finally.
One that's in school.
Yeah,
actually two. One's teaching.
Yeah, that's true. Now's the time to finally do something for yourself. And maybe you're thinking it's time to get your health back on track. You know, I know a lot of people that just feels like they're just not feeling great about themselves and want to just do something to make themselves healthier, make themselves look better. Well, Profile can help. They have a variety of plans to fit any budget, and Profile really, really works. Trust me, I've lost a ton of weight and I feel just awesome. Profile has helped me and they can help you too. So what are you waiting for? Set up your free no obligation consultation today. You'll be glad you did. Visit profileplan.com/TwinCities for more details. If you use promo code Russo, and you can save $100 on your Profile membership. That's profileplan.com/TwinCities. And again, tell them that Russo sent you. And here's a word from Minnesota Propane Association.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera. And did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy two heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy right now.
Chris Lindahl told me that people should feel a lot more confident in putting their home on the market this summer. That's because Chris Lindahl's Real Estate Guaranteed Offer Program gives you confidence that you're getting great value, that the experience will be incredibly convenient, and then you'll be able to bid on homes that other buyers can't even see. With Chris Lindahl Real Estate, you get market value for your home, 90 full days to close, and access to off-market inventory. Call Chris Lindahl Real Estate today at 763-401-SOLD or go to chrislindahl.com to request a no-obligation guaranteed offer on your home. Again, that's chrislindahl.com. So Russo's filter says, what's the next annoying thing that people are going to bother me about? His guess is, when's Mikko Koivu's retirement ceremony? Russo's slacks, of course, all my parody accounts come up with the real good zingers today. Right after I broke the story that they signed Kaprizov, Russo's slacks asked me what was going on with Eichel. So, very funny guys.
Yeah. Well, I offered a bonus for anybody that could come up with a question that would make you the angriest. And
did you do that? I didn't even see that.
And today, I don't know that anything would, like, today won't make you angry, but give us like a week. It's
there'll be something.
Yeah. Training camp starts in 48 hours from the time we're recording this show.
Yeah.
And I'll predict that by the time we get to preseason game, I'll say number two, that something will have Russo all worked up. There'll be, I don't know what it'll be, the Wild don't have, I'll say it's something, I'll say defensive core related, that you'll be, yeah, you'll have angst regarding that.
Yeah, that might actually be a really good prediction there. But you know, it is funny though. Like, I know that you and I joke about this, that you don't, you know, your only job is to know what's going on opening night, but this was a long saga for me, and even last night, like, I started to really sense the last day and a half that it was coming. So even last night, when I got the sense that Bill Guerin was up to something, like, I slept with my ringer on. First of all, I never knew without muting my phone how many freaking notifications and texts I get in the middle of the night. So it was like the worst night's sleep ever.
I don't even know how to turn my ringer on.
I know that. That's annoying. Like, if Anthony is not looking at his phone or in his car at the time, he is not picking up or answering a text. It's just one of the many, many things that bothers me about you. But honestly, I am just glad it's over, Anthony. This has been a long
time. I am too.
Especially when you're also writing, there were two things that made this one difficult. Is one, you felt like at the end here, the last month, I was writing just one side of the story because I don't know why, but Paul Theofanis wasn't giving me his side. And it's probably because he had no real reason to give why they weren't taking 5x9. But the other one is, like, what was stressful about this is that I felt like I was starting to pick on Kaprizov because I have never covered a contract negotiation like this. Usually when you cover contract negotiations, it's the team being cheap. And that's why it's not getting done. But I never understood how it was possible to have a player that played 55 games and not accept a $9 million deal on multi-years.
Right.
I mean, it just became And all, and then with social media and the fact that you can never unplug, it just was becoming just overwhelming to deal with on an everyday basis.
I don't doubt it for a minute. It was exhausting for me just to have to answer the question.
Yeah.
And if I got the question, I don't even know where to begin. I'd say, no, for me, it's not on social media. I'd get the question in person. Yeah. If I was getting it 10 times a day, 15 mm-hmm. times a day, I know you were getting it significantly more often for sure if you include the electronic questions. So we've talked about this. We've joked about this. Your job is very different, and I'm glad I don't have it because I can only imagine. And as we've said before, like, it has to be so frustrating is the wrong word, but there was a time where if you worked the way you did on this story, like you might have it in the paper tomorrow and the other paper in town doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. And instead,
so hard for 5 seconds.
You beat everybody by less than 60 seconds. And because as soon as you tweeted out, within a minute, the Minnesota Wild announced it to everybody.
Yeah.
And
that's why I, like, this morning I said that they were gaining traction on The Athletic, and then on Twitter, like, 2 hours before, I just said, like, they're getting close, because I just couldn't wait anymore. It was just like, you know, I knew it was essentially done. I was getting it from multiple sources. Like, I can't even tell you. And there just came a point where it's like, you just got to at least report it, because, you know, just for your own, like, mental, you know, ability to just go on with your day. It was like exhausting sitting at my laptop today, because you just knew the way, like, I always say this job is all about reporters' instincts. It's not even about sources. It's just instincts. And, like, you know, just the way when people are responsive to me, I know what's going on. And when people suddenly go radio silent, you just know, all right, something big's going on. And then you just start doing sources. And when I started talking to a lot of people that know Kaprizov well, they're like, I didn't realize he was on his way here. I mean, that's the interesting thing here, is that this thing was obviously done yesterday, because he was flying all day to Minnesota. He's already in town. Originally last week I heard that he wasn't vaccinated. Now there's a chance he might be vaccinated, and they're doing the in-person press conference tomorrow. There's a chance he's going to be on the ice Thursday. So clearly here in the last 2 or 3 days, things were in the works here to get him over.
And maybe even longer.
Yeah.
I mean, if everything that we had heard along the way was accurate about what was offered, and that if Billy knew, let's say, you know, 4 weeks ago, whatever, and it sounds like that the both sides knew that was going to be the final offer and there were some details to be worked out, you know, maybe they did work in a proactive manner to say, okay, let's start getting the flight set up. Let's get the vaccination mm-hmm. process going.
The work visa thing's interesting. And the one thing I will say that I've said on this podcast for about a month to you is he knows very important people in Russia. And for him to have flown over here without an inked contract, clearly he had a little different ability to get here than Kevin Fiala did 2 weeks, 2 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, you know? Except that when you get here, you still have to have it.
Right. So, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, at least to get out of Russia is one thing, but to, and that, you know, so I mean, it's, I'm just, we're all glad it's done. And it's, you know, I mean, I've said before, I don't envy the job that you do in the way that you work at it for what is such a, if you really just think about it in terms of time, such a small reward. I mean, to have the story 60 seconds before everybody else. But, and there's, I should, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, because when you have it 60 seconds before,
at least mine's a full story.
You've already written the story. Yeah. So it's, your story is out as everybody else gets the news. And, you know, a guy like me just retweets the Wild's release and, hey, this is great news, Kaprizov signed. And that's the extent of it at this point in the season. You know, then on a game night, it's a lot more important, because then I have to know, like, what's coming, because you have to do some research on a player and make sure that, all right, if this guy's going to play tomorrow, I really need to know tonight so that I can make sure that I've got the background that I need on him, and whatever research has to be done in that way. So there's a point where it's different, but it's I'm sure it's been a stressful last couple of weeks, if not last couple of months.
Just back to Dewar and Drewham a little bit. I mean, really fascinating story that I'm working on. I don't want to.
So this is like a U-turn.
Yeah.
Not like a left turn or right turn. I know. This is a U-turn.
Well, before the before we did our little house business here to make sure we could pay the bills, you know, I decided to I teased that we were going to talk a little bit more about them. But and obviously when the story runs Friday or Saturday, I hope people still read the story and don't just, you know, all right, I learned about them on Worst Seats in the House. But really fascinating guys. I mean, they live together. As I said, they're called Dewey 1, Dewey 2. They're buddies. You know, Dewar is super soft-spoken. Duham, you could just see, is when he eventually gets here, is going to be a guy that we're going to rely on a lot for quotes. But they're fascinating guys, totally different upbringings, okay? So Brandon Duham, dad was drafted in the NHL. I don't think he ever played. From Montreal, his wife's from Montreal. He speaks full French. They moved to South Florida. He grows up in South Florida.
I thought he was a Florida guy.
Yeah, but his parents are from Montreal.
Oh, his parents are from. Yep. I got you. Okay.
So he grows up in Parkland, Florida, where, you know, lived in the same community as guys like Roberto Luongo and Olli Jokinen and people like that. He lived, you know, stone's throw from Stoneman Douglas High School, which I, you know, unfortunately had almost to the day had the school shooting, but, you know, a place that I really kind of grew up covering high school games at, a huge high school in Parkland. Really like best buddies with Jacob Chychrun, who plays for the Arizona Coyotes. And at the same time, so Brandon's mom, Martine, was running the Florida Everblades, which is in Estero, Fort Myers, Florida, basically. The minor Bantam, they were the two best players on the team, Chychrun and Brandon Duham. Chychrun, Brandon Duham's mom, Martine, calls up Jeff Chychrun, former NHL defenseman, and says when they're like 14 years old, hey, I just want to let you know that Brandon wants to go play in British Columbia. So they get off the phone, and immediately Jeff Chychrun tells me, well, now I know I got to send Jacob somewhere. And that's where he wound up in the Caesars program. But, you know, two South Florida guys that essentially, like all South Florida great hockey players that want to be in the NHL, they have to leave at like 13, 14 years old. And they go, and Brandon Duham's dad moved with him to British Columbia for a couple years, got a job there, things like that. So different upbringing there. Where Connor Dewar is from a place called the Paw, Manitoba. And he said that if you go to Winnipeg, then you land in Winnipeg and you drive 6 hours like north. And so, you know, like his joke to me was, I can't wait till the mild winters here in Minnesota. You know, like, you know, like he's just in the middle of bum, you know what, Manitoba. And a kid that grew up a Canadiens fan, you know, things like that. And here they are, two guys that were drafted by Minnesota that look like they're going to be really quality players. One guy goes the college route in Duham. Dewar goes and becomes the, you know, captain for Kevin Constantine's Everett Silvertips. And here they are, and they're two guys that are just seemingly on the verge of being in the NHL. And we know that because the Wild actually gave Duham a two-way, one-way contract, meaning that the Wild believe that next year that he's going to be on a one-way deal in the NHL. So he's close. These guys are going to get games this year, even if they don't make the team.
And I think it's when you look at this year, look at next and the year after, because that's where the Wild absolutely have to have some of these guys from their system not only be ready, they've got to contribute. They have to play and contribute because they're going to be cap strapped, and the door is open for guys like this to step into an NHL role. And yeah, I'll be anxious to see how close they are, you know, when we get into camp this year, just to see, like, you know, we talk about the guys at the top in terms of the prospect list. Anxious to see them when you throw them on the ice with you. Well, let's see where these guys are. Let's see how different they look.
Mm-hmm. We're 33 minutes into this podcast. I haven't mentioned the Trampled by Turtles concert that I went to at Treasure Island the other day, Anthony. What a show. First of all, I had second row seats, basically first row seats. Nobody on either side of me. I did meet Pink and Pearl on Twitter. She was right behind me. Really cool woman. It was, yeah, I had buddies in the lawn. I had, after the show, I hung out with Banjo Dave for a while, and his whole family stayed, and Don, their sound guy, as well. But what a concert. One of the tightest concerts that I've seen of them, and I've seen them probably 30 or 40 times. And it was just great seeing live music again. I've seen a couple comedy shows. I think I mentioned I went out to Vegas to see Whitney Cummings. I went to Chicago to see Tim Dillon. But to be at a concert again, which, you know, is my only other passion in life, is live music. It was just awesome. Outdoor venue at Treasure Island in the amphitheater. It was just so sweet to just see them again. And as usual, you know, it's like, it's just so funny because Dave Simonette, the lead singer, donated essentially Victory to this podcast, the opening song, and Winners, the closing song. And then just to see him playing Victory again with that intro that we always hear on this podcast, you know, you half expect to hear you or me saying, welcome back to Worst Seats in the House.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen those guys, and actually I would have loved to have gone with you that night. We had some college friends over for a dinner party that night and wound up with the basement Olympics that went on until 3 o'clock in the morning. You could have stopped on your way home if you wanted, but it was...
I stayed the night. They had a great hotel there.
We had some fun, but yeah, I mean, to go back and to... And those guys are, you know, we had a chance. We knew Dave well and have hung out with him a number of times, but one of the nights that stands out to me that we went to see them was that night. Remember we went and saw them when they played the pizza place where they had gotten
pizza
their start?
Lucha, yeah.
And we
up
went
in Duluth.
In Duluth, and we drove up to Duluth for the night to watch this. And they were just doing a show, like a throwback show, to basically say, this is where we got our start. There were only, what, 100 people maybe in the place at max. But it was just kind of cool to see the way those guys, none of them have lost their roots. None of them have lost their connection to their hometown, to their home state, to each other, to this band. It's been fun to watch, and I, you know, I can't wait to see them again live. And we've had a chance to see a couple live shows. I know we tried to get you to come with us to Crooners. We've seen a couple really good shows at Crooners up in Fridley, which is a great little gem of a spot for live music, and have seen a tremendous Sinatra type show there that is you would love, and you know, we'll have to get there, but I'm just so excited to see these kind of things coming back. I've seen a little bit of it with like our high school football games on Friday nights, to be back with, you know, crowds and to see the students all together again, and that's been great. Now to have the season right around the corner, to go over and watch these prospect games with the stands full of fans, and just every little step feels like life is a little bit more real, a little bit more back to normal. And you know, it'll be the next step for me will be when we go to training camp on Thursday. I mean, we got media day tomorrow where we're going to do a bunch of our preseason interviews with the Wild players, and that will be, you know, we didn't get to do that last year. And then the next day training camp starts, and here we go. And man, I can't wait.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we saw that first taste of it with a bunch of fans there. I couldn't believe how well attended not only just the two scrimmages were, but practices. And what's really, really, really neat that if you all are listening to this podcast and weren't on social media today, the Wild, not only, you know, normally they have like one open practice in training camp or maybe like an intra-squad game. They have so many practices that are free and open to the public at TRIA this year. Masks are recommended, but I highly, highly recommend going on social media and getting to go to a couple of Wild practices, because it's just fun to be and see hockey again and things like that. I wanted to tell everybody about Aquarius Home Services, which is your local authorized dealer for Connecticut Water Systems. If you're looking for a one-stop shop for all your home service needs, well, my friends over at Aquarius Home Services are dedicated to providing the highest quality water treatment, plumbing, heating, and cooling services. They pride themselves on providing superior customer service. I could tell you that for a fact. They respect you, your time, and your attention to details that really make a difference. Not only do they provide superior customer service, they're 100% performance guaranteed. Their 100% performance guarantee is backed by the best material, product, and labor warranties in the business. Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended, which is why every single week I recommend them. If you're looking for a company you could trust for your water treatment, plumbing, and heating and cooling systems, they're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com. And don't forget to mention that Russo sent you. And Anthony, tell us about Kowalski's.
Well, I mentioned we just had this dinner with some college friends this past weekend, and it's always a treat. One of my highlights of the day is wandering back by the meat and seafood counter at my neighborhood Kowalski's, and in this particular day we decided to go with halibut because it looked the best. And boy, we had an awesome halibut, just kind of an herb crusted blackened halibut over a citrus risotto that turned out phenomenal. And then, but a couple of little things that we've added lately. I mentioned last week we went with the hand rolled the butter made by the Amish that was that's been a game changer with a couple things we've used that, but they have a red a salami made by a company called Red Table. That's the only place I've seen it that I've seen it is at Kowalski's, but it is awesome locally made salami. And then this Briat cheese, our charcuterie trays were right up there with the best we've had, and it's just another reason why no matter what. You can't go wrong when you walk through there. They're knowledgeable people. I was recommended this Red Table salami by one of the gals working at the counter, the cheese and salami type area. And it's, you know, hey, try this. You'll love this. And even gave me a great tip for peeling the skin off of salami, which has also been a game changer for me because that was always such a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. So it's great. If you're going to have a great meal, you're going to have great guests, you got to start with the best ingredients, and the best place for that is Kowalski's.
And here's a word from Bosch Law Firm.
Hey everyone, attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Back here, Word Seats in the House, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta. Reminder, September 27th, Monday night, 7 p.m., come down to Elsie's for a live recording of Word Seats in the House. You can ask your questions live rather than tweeting me. People keep on asking me, I see on Twitter, on how much this will kill me not to be able to. People keep on asking me on Twitter here, Anthony, like, when will Kaprizov sign, just for old time's sake, I guess. He gets the full no trade in years 4 and 5, no signing bonuses, a backloaded deal as well for the low escrow years, and I cannot wait to find out at the press conference all the details on how the heck they got him here so quickly, and if he's going to be able to avoid a quarantine, how they're managing that as well. It's going to be just really fascinating to see, because reading the protocols today, I don't get how it's possible, but clearly something's been worked around behind the scenes if, in fact, he is allowed to do an in-person press conference on Wednesday and be on the ice Thursday. What do you think of Kalen Addison the other day? A lot of questions from that, Anthony.
I thought he was good.
I did too.
And I thought, you know, he looked like he was...
I love the way he runs a power play.
Yeah, he was really good on the power play. He was poised with the puck coming out of his own zone, I thought. And I thought he was good. And it, you know, it almost, and this will, there's almost no basis for this, just even the fact that he showed up, had his hair cut and everything, it almost just made him look like he was more, that he was serious about what he was doing.
I think he is.
And
yeah.
And it just, there was something about the way he carried himself that just looked different to me. And maybe it was just that he didn't have the goofy hair flowing out of his helmet, but
he said that afterwards. He essentially insinuated that, like, it was time to get serious. I want to be a leader, a good teammate, all that type of stuff. And I just, I like the way he carries himself. The one thing about him that I remember even last year, Anthony, is that he just never, you know, he looked poised. Like, he never looked overwhelmed in the playoffs. Like, was there ever a time where he was on the ice and you're like, oh boy, they better get through this shift?
Not really. And I thought he was even better that way. Now, this is playing against younger, less experienced, less talented players, but he certainly looked, you know, you talk about the forwards looking like they were better than everybody that was around him and dominating the flow. He did the same thing from the back end. I thought Beckman looked good. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked really good with the puck and stood out and was different. And, you know, I thought those guys, to me, were the four that were the most noticeable, the Rossi, Boldy, and then Addison and Beckman. I thought those guys were different than everybody else we saw.
Yeah, I will say this. The one thing I also was impressed with were some of those young defensemen that they've drafted the last couple of years. I thought Ryan O'Rourke was fabulous.
O'Rourke was good.
I looked at Carson Lambos. Yep. This guy went through a major medical issue last year that – that he had to worry about, and thankfully he's been given the green light, and we'll eventually, I'm sure, be able to discuss this in more detail once that once Carson is feeling comfortable with that. But for him to go out there and look as good as he did, I think he's going to go back to his junior team and really take a lot of the things that he learned here. Same thing with Damon Hunt, with Brian O'Rourke as well, Anthony.
I thought O'Rourke was good. I didn't notice Lambos as much in the Sunday scrimmage, but I thought O'Rourke was good. And, you know, I think for all those guys, it's still it hasn't been a normal last year and a half for any of these guys. So I think it's, you know, for all of them, it looked like there was maybe a little bit of still just kind of adjusting back to playing the game they've always played. And, you know, we'll see.
Have you seen Miko around the rink yet?
I saw him there. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I walked by him.
First of all, I asked him the other day why the heck he was smiling and being so nice to me, because I'm not used to that the first minute of training
camp. Maybe usually it was an imposter.
Like, yeah, it was. Usually when I see Miko the first day of training camp, it's like, you're back. I was hoping you'd go cover the Rangers or something. But just seeing him, first of all, he looks like he could sign tomorrow and be, you know, the best center.
Is that surprising to you?
No, I mean, you know, guys like him and Ryan Carter, like if I was a professional athlete, I would just be like, all right, I'm never working out again the second my career ends. But these guys are just still in great shape. It looks like Ryan and Miko have been golfing like every minute, by the way. Miko's crazy tan right now, but it's just cool to see that he's going to be around the team and helping out in a variety of different ways and sort of getting his feet wet. And that's something that Bill Guerin seems to be doing right now. He's brought Miko back to the organization. I know Nate Prosser would love to work here. I don't know if that'll happen. Matt Carl's been hired as a scout, former NHL player as well. There's a different feel right now. Like I'm shooting the breeze yesterday with Ray Shiro for this story I'm writing now. I hate kind of talking about this stuff because inevitably in training camp, things get pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And I'm doing this big Goligoski feature. And Ray Shiro was so good for this story about when he signed him out of the University of Minnesota to Pittsburgh, and just really funny anecdotes. Talked to Goligoski's parents today for a long, long time this morning. So this Goligoski story will be really, really cool as well. But it's just neat. There's this different feel seeing Randy Sexton around, Ray Shiro around. It seems like Bill has created a really quality front office around them.
Well, yeah, and that's not at all surprising. I mean, we've said it from the beginning that I think he had an idea in his mind of what an organization would look like if he ever became a GM. He became a GM, and it takes a couple of years to get to know everybody that's already in the organization that you inherit, and then make the tweaks and the changes to get it to be where you're surrounded by people that you trust, not just people who agree with you, but by people who you trust, whose opinion you trust, and who you think can help shape every player that comes through your system. And, you know, I was watching as he and Miko chatted up in the, whatever you call that, owner's box above the benches at TRIA, and just thinking that I think Billy always had a tremendous respect for Miko as a player. And I was just glad to see that because he had to make the difficult decision to say, Miko, we're not going to offer you a contract, he always said the right things, that, look, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Miko. But sometimes you got to make tough decisions. And the fact that you can make that tough decision and now a year later say, I value your ability and your influence on these guys so much that I would love to have you be a part of it, I think speaks volumes about both men.
Yeah.
Because Miko, I think, may not have understood it at the time that it happened and may have looked at it and said, how can I not end my career wearing a Wild sweater? Mm-hmm. But, you know, now maybe his career continues with a Wild pullover on instead of a sweater. Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was reading a NHL.com story today that was written in Finnish by a Finnish reporter. So it's a story that would be NHL.com. I don't think a lot of fans know this. They have native language site in essentially 9 or 10 different countries, including just one in Quebec. But then in Finland and Russia, they've got actual reporters over there. So there was the Finnish writer wrote this story off Jared Spurgeon from the NHL, what would you call that, that they had the media thing that they had in Chicago last week that all the national writers go to. But so this writer was there, and Jared was quoted in this article saying that the most influence that he's had in his NHL career by any teammate was Mikko Koivu. Taught him how to be a pro. A lot of funny anecdotes in there, too, about how when Mikko would get pissed off, how he didn't hide it with whoever it was, teammate, player, media member. Never a play-by-play guy, though.
Yeah, I never had a run-in with the angry Mikko. I watched it happen to those around me, and
I joked once that so I lived in downtown Minneapolis for a long time, Anthony, and I used to go to that coffee shop Terracino, which I'm sure you and I have been to before,
right down the street from and the Mikko, old Fox Sports North
my
headquarters.
First 5 or 6 years covering the Wild, Mikko lived in the building essentially next to me in downtown Minneapolis, and inevitably, 5 times a year, he and I would have to go meet at that Terracino for a little. Maybe it wasn't 5 times a year. At least twice a season, he and I would need to go sit down for a blueberry muffin and an Americano and hash out some battle that he and I had in the locker room that week. But he and I have had some run-ins. But
yeah, and
it doesn't shock you.
It doesn't shock me, and it doesn't shock me that you draw the ire of him. But I had such a respect for him as a player and the way he carried himself, the kind of teammate he was. I think it's great to bring guys like that back into the organization. And, you know, you've seen the Wild have now been established where they've got some guys who have been a part of it. And, you know, when Andrew Burnett came back and was around the organization, I thought that was great for the players to have a tie to Darby Hendrickson, mm-hmm. to Brad Bombardier, to guys that have been a part of, you know, Wes Walls still being around there, even though he's not necessarily on the ice with these guys, just to have guys that have been a big part of this, of the growth of this organization, come back and give back. It's one of the things I think the Minnesota Twins have always done really well, mm-hmm. is bring back those guys who played and were a part of things here. They're back around the club during spring training. And sometimes it's not even like a, hey, let's talk hitting or let's talk catching. It's more just kind of, you know, here's what life was like as a contender, as a young player, as a veteran guy, to, you know, just kind of some things to think about. And it also, I think, is important because it teaches the younger players that there have been a lot of guys who have come before you and a lot of guys who poured their heart and soul into, now let's go back to the Wild. I mean, you look at a guy like Wes Walls and the intensity that he still brings every night when he's coming to work in the booth or to work a pregame show. I've always kind of kidded and said, geez, if the guys inside the room are half as intense as he is, Wild are going to be tough to beat tonight.
I was talking to Rick Tockett yesterday, and Rick was, first thing he said to me was like, how's Wes Walls doing?
Yep.
But Wes, if you remember, was Rick Tockett's assistant coach in Tampa
Bay.
We
always joke, like, we think those two guys went to facial expression school together, because we'll get shots of Rick Tockett on the bench, and he looks like Wes.
Yeah.
So we'll always, like, I'll hit the talk back to talk to John Stroh in the truck, and, hey, can you get me a shot of Wes, please? And I mean, right away, here's the shot of Tockett on the bench, and he's got the wrinkled up, like, disgusted look on his face.
Like I coach the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, and so I always kid with Wes says, do I always look that angry? And I said, it's not angry. You just look that intense. Like, if somebody doesn't bring 100% to whatever they're doing, you just look at them with this disgust. But I've never met a guy who's more competitive than Wes Walls. Like, I don't care if you're crumpling up the pages from your format and throwing them in the garbage, he wants to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And so I it's a little bit of a tangent, but I just think it's great for the players now to learn that there were some guys for whom this mattered a great deal. And you owe it to, when you put on that sweater, you're not the first guy, and there will be 100 guys after you. That there have been guys before you. You owe it to them to give it the kind of respect that it does. And I think one great way to do that is to have guys who have been great players in this organization come back around and be aware of what they did, what they accomplished, what they achieved.
I'll be interested to see if Eric Staal, if he does not play, if he'll come back to the organization in some capacity to work. Because I know that, I mean, obviously he's retiring here if he doesn't play again. I know that he and Bill Guerin also had a really really healthy conversation about a month ago as well. You know, first time since he traded them that they had spoken and things, you know, were really productive on that call in terms of, you know, relationship rebuilding and things like that. You know, and just a final thought on that, and we'll wrap up the podcast, but, you know, the old West Walls thing, the story that I was just reminded of by you going on that tangent is that time that Wes Walls, after a game playing probably 22 minutes that night, is on a treadmill after the game running, and while James Shepard's sitting on the floor eating ice cream watching NHL Tonight or something, and Jacques Lemaire just, he goes in the back, and it pissed him off to such a degree that he turned to Mario and was like, I got to go talk to him. And he marched back out there after a game and lit into James Shepard and said, look at this pro right here. Look what you're doing, and look what Wes Walls is doing. And you know, I mean, that's why James Shepard had a very short career. Hey, real fun podcast. Hope everybody enjoyed this breaking news podcast. Really appreciate Anthony doing this as well when he's working the Twins game here on Bally Sports North. Thanks to Trampled by Turtles, as always, for donating the music. September 27th, Monday night, 7 p.m. at LC's in Northeast Minneapolis. I was doing the Northeast. But
right.
It's Northeast.
It's Northeast. You're in Northeast when you're there.
I learned that the first day I lived in Minnesota.
There are so many great places in that neighborhood, but Elsie's is one of the, it's one of the oldest spots down there. It's worth it.
You can get in Grain Belt Northeast.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out and see us on Monday night. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I like to see a lot of new faces as well as all our incredible regulars that come to a lot of our live shows. Thanks as always to Profile by Sanford, Minnesota Propane Association, Chris Lindahl Real Estate, AquariusHomeServices.com, Kowalski's, Bosch Law Firm, and see everybody at Elsie's. So much coming out, there's nothing going on. We have no podcast topics anymore, Anthony.